about this week?
We are talking about one of the most anticipated films of the year, Black Panther: Wakanda Forever. This is once again directed by Ryan Coogler, who directed the last film, and in a lot of ways, real life has influenced, I should say, art here, as in this film, the Kingdom of Wakanda is trying to move forward following the passing of King T'Challa, and a new threat, Namor, they kind of go backwards and forwards on how to pronounce his name, emerges threatening Wakanda's safety.
Yes, so of course, a lot of this film was a tribute to, of course, Chadwick Boseman, may his soul rest in absolute glorious peace. And those tributes in this film were absolutely fantastic and beautiful. And I think Ryan Coogler did the best, well, the whole cast and the whole production crew did the best that they could in light of difficult times. And that was very much shown. The respect for Chadwick Boseman is just immense. And you can tell.
Yes, this is very much a final send-off to their Black Panther. Like, from 2016, when he was first introduced in Captain America: Civil War, he was a force to be reckoned with. He just had this presence about him, and we saw even more of that in his solo film back in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very excited to see him come back, but unfortunately, fate dealt us a cruel hand and Chadwick passed away in 2020. And the script had been finished.
It had.
When he passed away, so
there was a massive rewrite. It got pushed back. There was a bunch of different things. I will say this, though. Please, please be silent during the opening Marvel title card scene. It is basically a one-minute silence to Chadwick Boseman. So please respect that.
Show that character and that actor as well the reverence he rightfully deserves. But look, we could talk about how this movie is a tribute to Chadwick Boseman all day. Let's talk about the other aspects of this movie, because I did really enjoy this movie. I thought it was a lot of fun, very heartfelt. It felt complete, if the best word I'd use to describe it. It wasn't trying to set up any immediate sequels or follow-ups. They give little hints of things.
There was a couple things, but like nothing too major. There was no post-credit scene. There was no major tie-ins with random cameos, except for Valeria Desfontaines.
Yes, you almost said Elaine because Julia Louis-Dreyfus. And I get the feeling she just showed up in that wig and was there for like 4 days and just played Julia Louis-Dreyfus kind of thing.
So she does show up, and of course that's a tribute. You can see where things are going to happen with the Thunderbolts. But to be honest, if you cut those, I was talking to Gemma about this, if you cut those 15 minutes out of the film, it wouldn't have taken anything away from Black Panther: Wakanda Forever. You could still watch it as a complete film. And I kind of hope someone makes a cut of that because as much as honestly, that whole subplot with the CIA didn't go anywhere. I mean, I can see where it is going in future films, but for the actual overline storyline between Wakanda and Talokan, the underwater
empire,
which is originally Atlantis in the comics, but of course, right, they had to change that thanks to DC. So they made it a Mayan empire instead, which actually was beautifully done.
Yeah. That whole sequence with Namor in Talokan reminded me of one of my all-time favorite movies, which is Apocalypto. Like,
it reminded me of Journey to what was it? Journey to Atlantis.
Journey to the Center of the Earth.
No. Atlantis,
the Lost Empire, or
the Disney film with Keita and the cute little nerdy dude.
Oh yeah, Atlantis, the Lost Empire. Atlantis, the Lost Empire.
Is it okay?
Yeah,
but yeah, it reminded me of that with the beautiful imagery and because the architecture was similar because it was quite, that was rooted in some Mayan and Aztec culture as well. So it had very similar notions, but the costuming was fantastic.
Yeah.
You had some beautiful notions, but also I got to say, apart from America Chavez as an LGBT person, I have to say this, but we finally saw the Dora Milaje couple.
Yeah, we did. But it wasn't thrown in our face or anything.
No,
it was just kind of like, yeah, they're in a relationship.
And
Deal with it.
They were comforting each other with the whole aftermath of everything that had been going, and it was just beautifully done.
Yeah.
I know that they had a storyline in the first Black Panther, and that was cut. Oh. So it's nice to see that that's now in there, and with their own thing happening now with the, what is it, the Midnight Bird thing?
Yeah, the something like that.
What, I don't know. Gemma,
what the,
will correct me
the
later.
Suit that was? Are you talking about what Okoye eventually becomes?
Okoye and Ayo. They're the couple, and they become these other characters, which are only originated in the comics about 6 years ago.
So they're fairly recent characters.
Well, the characters themselves aren't recent, but that Midnight Angels.
Midnight Angels.
The Midnight Angels. They were a recent thing in the comics, and it's kind of nice that they're the couple, and it's cute and it's adorable. So I'm hoping we get to see more about them later. I'd love to see a Midnight Angels TV series.
Well,
Kevin Feige, hit me up. I'll write that one.
I think a series would probably suit. There's a lot of lore, I can imagine, and you can't really fit that into 2 hours. Kind of.
Oh, 100%.
But just on that, this brings me, just on that, circling back to the whole 15-minute CIA subplot, this brings me into a couple problems I have with this movie. Number one, it's too long. It does not need to be 161 minutes, or in layman's terms, that's 2 hours and 41 minutes. So, plus ads, you're in there for 3 hours, but...
Yeah, ads were ridiculous.
But. That whole subplot with the CIA, if it was in there for like 5 or so minutes, fine. But they put so much time with it. And as you said, it doesn't really go anywhere. It was nice to see Ross again, played by Martin Freeman. It was nice to see him again.
Yeah, and honestly, the Riri Williams subplot felt more like a plot device to get Wakanda and Talokan talking.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah,
without Riri Williams in there, we wouldn't have had the whole story, and it kind of feels like that's taking some light away from Ironheart, believe it or not. But it's going to be interesting to see where Ironheart goes now.
I mean, I think Dominic Thorne is fantastic.
Oh, she's great.
I would love to see more of her. And my other biggest problem with this is, unfortunately, Namor, great performance, great character. He's just not very threatening as a villain. He doesn't have the swagger and charisma.
He's not.
Yeah, but
he's not a villain.
Yeah, but as like a threat presence to Wakanda, he just doesn't have that kind of swagger and charisma that Killmonger had. And unfortunately, he's going to get compared a lot to Killmonger.
But unlike Killmonger, Namor is a protector.
Yeah,
he's a protector of his nation. Yeah. So he's on the same playing level as Black Panther, as Shuri. Yeah. It's just you're seeing him from a different perspective.
Yeah.
So it's not like, it's like if we were under attack from Wakanda. As Australians, we would feel very threatened by the Black Panther, right?
Yeah.
Same thing. But he's still a protector.
Yeah.
He cares so much about his people. He calls his people his children.
Yeah.
And considering he's pretty much an immortal demigod.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kukulkan.
Kukulkan, yes, is his Mayan name. Yeah. And he... Yes. I actually really enjoyed his performance. Yeah. He came across very much as a... loving father who loves his people and would do anything to make sure that they stay safe.
Yeah, he was doing what was best for his people. And in a lot of ways, and I'm sorry to go back to it, in a lot of ways, Killmonger had the mindset. It was just the way he said his lines. I'm just talking about the way he said his lines and the way he moved. Like Killmonger, because Michael B. Jordan is amazing. If you've seen the movie, you'll know what I'm talking
Killmonger
about.
Killmonger was also a lot of revenge.
Yeah, a lot of...
Revenge and retribution is also just a driving force for a lot of villains.
Even some main characters as well in this movie.
We're
not going to get into any spoilers, but before anything else, I got to say, Angela Bassett, you deserve an Oscar for this movie.
Oh,
you
she does.
Are incredible.
Oh my gosh, she did such a good job. Queen Mamanda... absolutely fantastic. We're not going to spoil it here, but she is...
She lays her soul bare in some scenes.
Oh, she does. But she is also the strongest damn woman in the goddamn MCU, and you can't change my mind.
Yeah, but yeah, just Angela Bassett, you are incredible. And somewhere, wherever Chadwick is right now, I have a feeling he would be proud of this movie.
Oh, he'd be so proud.
And yeah, rest in eternal glory, Chadwick. We miss you very dearly, and thank you for creating Black Panther.